Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yivamos Daf Kuf Vav, the last daf of the 12th parak of Maseches Yivamos. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored in memory of Moshe ben Michael on his yard site today by his grandchildren, his Nesham Shev and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we left off at the two dots, about five lines from the end of the page, on Daf Kuf Hei Amud Beis. And what we're going to do to discuss is first about the line in the Mishnah that talks about a chalitza that happens beino leveina, a chalitza that happens without any Beis Din present. And we're going to try to clarify the story that the Mishnah quotes about something that happened in a Beis HaAsurim with a chalitza. Then the Gemara is going to talk about a brisa, is going to talk about what is a chalitza mut. The Bryce is going to tell us that a chalitza muta'as, a mistake in chalitza, is kosher, but we're going to have a machlokas. What exactly that means? What was the mistake in the chalitza? And then the Gemara is going to discuss what happens if Beis Din does not recognize the fellow that's doing the chalitza. Are they able to go through with the chalitza even if they don't know that this is indeed the person who is the deceased husband's brother? And what the ramifications of that are when it gets to the next Beis Din, when if you write her a star that she got a chalitza and she brings that to the next Beis Din. So that's going to bring us to the end of Amud Aleph. And then on Amud Beis, the Mishnah on the top of Amud Beis is just going to go through the chalitza procedure. Exactly what happens, who says what, who does what. And then the Gemara is going to talk about certain hakpados in terms of reading over the parsha of the chalitza that she has to say, how we have to formulate the words to make sure that the correct impression is being given and that the commas are being put in the right place when she's saying this statement that this man does not want to carry on his brother's name, and he says lo chafatzti lekachta. They have to be careful. Lo chafatzti lekachta means I don't want to take her. Lo chafatzti lekachta means no way. I totally want to take her. So you have to be careful how you say that. So we're going to have that on Amud Beis. And then the Gemara is also going to discuss a certain dinim about the saliva that she, when she spits, that she shouldn't, that the saliva has to come on its own, that it has to be keneged panav, that it has to be le'enei Beis Din. So a number of dinim related to the saliva. So let's begin at the two dots on the bottom of Kufei Amud Beis, Maisa Shechaltzu. So it says Gemara, Beino Leveino Miyadana. So the Mishnah said that there was a Maisa where there was a chalitza that happened beino leveina in a Beis HaAsurim. So it says, how do we know that such a chalitza happened? If it was beino leveina, where's the evidence? Some Rabbi Dom Shmuel, the Eidim Rono Sami B'chutz. No, the point is that it wasn't Bifnei Beis Din, but there were Eidim that actually saw from outside that this chalitza was in fact happening. But now the Gemara clarifies, what exactly was this Maisa? Because the story was that they went to Rabbi Akiva and he was Machshir, but it happened in the Beis HaAsurim. So what happened in the Beis HaAsurim? Yibayilu, Maisa Shechaltzu beino leveina, Avra'i uba ma'isa lefnei Rabbi Akiva bebeis ha'asurin. Was it that the ma'isa happened outside of jail, but Rabbi Akiva was being held in jail, and therefore they came to the jail to ask Rabbi Akiva the shayla? O dilma ma'isa shechaltzu beino leveina bebeis ha'asurin. Or maybe it was a ma'isa that they did the chalitza in the Beis HaAsurim when they were all alone. Some Rav Yom Rab, Beis HaAsurim, Noi Maisel, Beis HaAsurim, Ba Maisel. Both, that it happened in the Beis HaAsurim, and they asked the Shailah to Rabbi Akiva in the Beis HaAsurim. Now on the first tzad that they brought it to Rabbi Akiva in the Beis HaAsurim, but the Maisa happened somewhere else, Fractosos and the bottom tosos from Tomer Vav Masisa Mashu Behedya Shecholtzah Beis HaAsurim, the Ketali Maisa Shecholtzah Ben Elvina Beis HaAsurim. The Mishnah is pretty explicit about what happened, meaning the Gemara normally will only ask for clarification when the Mishnah was not explicit. But over here, the Mishnah was very explicit that it happened in the Beis HaAsurim, and they brought the Maisa to Rabbi Akiva, but that it happened in the Beis HaAsurim is beferish in the Mishnah. So it says, Tosef, Yishlom, Dabahar, Bisorim, Garsinon, Ba Maisa l'fnei Rabbi Akiva, below Vav, not U Ba Maisa l'fnei Rabbi Akiva, but Ba Maisa l'fnei Rabbi Akiva, V'kainam, Beis HaAsurim, Rabbi Akiva, and the Beis HaAsurim part might be going on Rabbi Akiva, and that's what the Gemara is asking, that if the Beis HaAsurim is going on Rabbi Akiva, so the Gemara is questioning, well, did the Maisa also happen in the Beis HaAsurim, or did the Maisa happen outside? Then Fractosos, and how did the Gemara know the answer? Meaning, normally you bring a raya, something. Vim tomar hechi pasha shamaisa bal for Rabbi Kiva beis asurim v'lo ba'avrai. How do I know that the maisa came to Rabbi Kiva in the beis asurim, that it didn't come to Rabbi Kiva somewhere else? Yeshlamer diyadua Gemara shabal v'fan beis asurim. Must be that the Gemara had some sort of tradition that they knew that there was no raya, there was no anything. It must be that we had some sort of tradition. That's how we were able to answer that question. Okay, Tan Rabbanan, new brisa on the top of the page. Chalitza mutas kshera, a mistaken chalitza is kosher. Say, ezi chalitza mutas. What does that mean? mean a mistaken chalitza? So I'm Reish Lakish, explanation number one. We're going to have two explanations. Reish Lakish is explanation number one. Kol sha'om lo chalot u'bekachat ha'kontza. We trick the guy. We tell him, oh, you know how you get married to her? You do a chalitza. So if she takes off your shoe and spits and you do the whole thing, then you'll be married to her. Then you'll be able to have her. So that's a chalitza muta'as, and that's kosher. So I'm Reish Lakish, and an anisha on a bench and skavinu v'lon skavinu yibin shen skavinu v'lon skavinu chalitza s'psula ad she skavinu shem ke'echad v'atam in chalitza s'ksheira. Rabbi Yochanan says, I hold that they both need to have kavan of the shem chalitza, and you're telling me that if the guy doesn't even realize what happens when you do a chalitza, the chalitza is going to be kosher? No way. That cannot be the definition of a chalitza muta'as. No, what's a chalitza muta'as? Explanation number two, Rabbi Yochanan's explanation, ela kol sha'omrim lo chalotz lo al menashe titin loch masayim zuz. That you tell the guy, you do the chalitza and we will pay you, we'll give you 200 zuz. That's a chalitza, and then you don't pay him. That's a chalitza mutas, that you make a tenai in the chalitza that you can give him 200 zuz, and then you don't give him 200 zuz. That would be the definition of a chalitza mutas. So first of all, on Reish Lakish's definition, that the guy has no idea what's going on, that you tell him that he's going to be married to her by doing this chalitza, so Rabbi Yochanan rejects that, because Rabbi Yochanan says, what are you talking about? You need kavana when it comes to chalitza. So the question is, what does that mean that you need kavana when it comes to chalitza? There are two levels of kavana that one could speak about over here. There is the mitzvah tzrichos kavana type of kavana that we have in Kol HaTorah Kula, that whenever you do a mitzvah, you're supposed to be having kavana that you're doing it, the shem mitzvah, that you're doing it as a way of service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then there's a different type of kavana, like kavanas kinyan, that if you're being kona or makna something, that you're having kavana to affect this transaction. Chalitza is a type of transaction where she is now, you are now being sort of makna her to the rest of the world, or releasing her to be mutter to the rest, to be muteres to the rest of the world. So is there kavanas kinyan or kavanas mitzvah? So if you hold the chalitza is not a mitzvah, so there's nothing to talk about. But obviously you don't need kavanas mitzvah. But if you hold chalitza is a mitzvah, so is that the kavana that you need? So in fact, there are three shitos in the Achronim about this issue. The Beis Meir and Ebene Ezra and Simchum Samachthes and many other Achronim suggest that the kavana is kavanas mitzvah. And he brings a raya from the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Yibum B'chalitza Perek Dal and Alech Ches, and Rashi implies this way as well, writes that even though they're not niskavin the chalitzas mitzvah, so it sounds like the kavana that's required is kavana samitzvah. In the Chasam Sofer, he raises a question from our Gemara, because Reish Lakish says that a chalitza mutas is kshera, meaning he doesn't have any intention to pater her to the rest of the world, and she's still going to be muteres. But Reish Lakish is the one that holds mitzvah shrichas kavana. So lechora, we should bring a raya from here that the kavana is not kavanas mitzvah, because Reish Lakish would not hold chalitza mutas as kasher if you hold mitzvah shrichas kavana. So the Chasam Sofer rejects this raya, because Reish Lakish didn't say that even if you don't have kavana l'shem mitzvah, you yotzei. He says if you don't have kavana for the tachlis of the mitzvah, for the purpose of being releasing her to the rest of the world. So it could be that he's having kavana l'shem mitzvah. He's having kavana that he's doing ratzon Hashem. He just doesn't realize what this chalitza actually does. So meaning kavana l'shem mitzvah means as opposed to lekabel pras. If he's not mechavin for the tachlis of mitzvah, that just means he's being mechavin like to be mekabel pras or something like that. So that's not the real tachlis of the mitzvah, but he would still be yotzei as far as mitzvah shrichas kavana is concerned from that perspective. A second day is the day of the Chacham Tzvi. In the very first Shuvah in Chacham Tzvi in Siman Aleph, he says no, it's kavanas kinyan. And he says that would answer Tosas Kashan Kuftal and Beis, where Tosas asks on the Shita that holds that Chalitza's Katana works Minatora, but a Katana doesn't have any Das to be Mechavin B'Chalitza. So he says, according to his Shita, that it's Kavanas Kinyan, you understand very well, because in Shulchan Aruch we paskin that a Godol is able to be Makne to a Katan, even though a Katan doesn't have Das Kinyan, because Das Acher is Makne Lo. So that's good enough to have the Kavana of the Makne. So over here also, the Kavana of the Choletz, who is a Godol, may be enough to be Makne to the Katana, to be Makne herself to the Katana, so that she will now be free free to marry whoever she wants. Then the third opinion is that of the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says that it's a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, in our Gemara, that when they disagree about someone who's cholitz and thinks that the woman is not going to become mutaris alidei that chalitza, so Reish Lakish holds that the kavana that they require is like kavana with any other mitzvah, and therefore even if he thinks that it's not going to be matir her, he's having kavana l'shem mitzvah, and that's good enough. But Rabbi Yochanan says no, he needs to have kavana for what he's accomplishing and for what he's doing, and if he doesn't have that kavana, then it's not going to be okay. So obviously the level of kavana that Rabbi Yochanan is dealing with is not just a mitzvah shichs kavana kind of kavana, it's a kavana for the tachlis, for the purpose of exactly what it is that one is accomplishing. So anyway, so that is the opinion of Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan said no, that kol sh'om lo chalotz am nashit lo chmasayim zuz, that chalitza muta'as means that you tell the guy you do the chalitza, we'll pay you afterwards, we'll pay you towards zuz, and then you don't pay him. So that's what the Brisa was telling us is kosher. Now why is that kosher? You made a tanai in the chalitza and then you didn't follow through, you didn't follow through on the tanai. So Rashi explains v'yafagav d'lo yavale chalitza d'lo yavale, even though you didn't give him the money, chalitza sekshera. Every Tanai we learn from the Tanai Bnei Gadol Bnei Reuven. So Tanav Sha'efshar that Lasos Al Yedei Shliach Sha'asa Moshe Yoshua Shliach Lasos Lamisar Tzagilad Havi Tanai Tanah. Any Tanai that you could do through a Shliach, that's a valid Tanai. But Kol Tanai D'Lav Shalas Al Yedei Shliach Kol Chalitza. Ain't an aim all above. Is that a time of Shaldavar? Since Chalitza cannot be done al Yidei Shliach, so mainly you cannot make a Tanai in the Chalitza, meaning it's not about the fact that they promised him 200 zuz and that's ridiculous. It's about the fact that you can't put any Tanai into any Chalitza, because Chalitza is something that cannot be done al Yidei Shliach. We learn from Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven that the only types of activities that you can attach a Tanai to are those kinds of things that you can make a Shliach for. If you cannot make a Shliach, then you cannot attach a Tanai. Tosus is bothered. Where does that come from? Yes, I understand. It comes from Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. That everything that's all Mishpatei HaTanayim from Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. But the Gemara is explicit what the Mishpatei HaTanayim are from Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. Hein Kodem Lav, Tanai Kodem Lamaisa, Tanai Kafel. Those are the things that the Gemara mentions. You can't just say everything that applied by Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven is automatically one of the Mishpatei HaTanayim. Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven is about Karka. So you can only apply tonight to something that relates to Karka. It was also better at Israel. It was also while they were in a different country. So, meaning you can't say that all of these things are Mishpatei HaTanayim. So who's to say what makes something one of the Mishpatei HaTanayim? So Tosa suggests that, no, it's Mistaver over here, because when you're able to do a Maisa Al Yidei Shliach, that shows that you really have Bailus over that Maisa. I mean, if you're able to make a Shliach to do something, that means you have complete control over this Maisa. So much so, you can even appoint somebody else to do it. You're even authorized to appoint someone else to do it. Well, if you have that kind of control over the Maisa, then you could be Matil Tanai in such a Maisa, because that shows a level of Bailus over the Maisa. Whereas if it's something that you cannot make a Shliach, so that shows a lack of complete control over the Maisa. And mainly you're not able to make it tonight. Bnei Yeshua said that Lule Divra Tosos, he would have thought the Svara is the other way. That the more the Maisa is biyado, that's a Svara to say that you cannot make it tonight, because the tonight is only a Dibur, and Dibur cannot come and be Mevata the Maisa. So long as it's a real Maisa Gomor, like a Chalitza and a Bia, where you can't do Al Yidei Shliach, so I would think that whatever words you're going to attach to it are going to be meaningless, because it's a Maisa, this is like a hefty Maisa. But if it's something that's not such a Maisa Gomer, because I could even make a Shliach, meaning the Maisa is obviously not that important, if I could even make a Shliach, so maybe then in such cases I would not be able to I would be able to make it tonight, because then the Dibur can be Mevatel such a Maisa. But that's not what Tosos said. he would have suggested such a thing, but that's not in fact what Tosos says. So anyway that is Shitas Rashi, that the reason that you cannot make it tonight over here is because we learn all Tanayim from Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, and anything that's not b'shlichus is less of b'tanai. Tani Nami Achi, back in the Gemara, Chalitza Mutas Kshera, we said the Chalitza Mutas is Kshera, Ezo Hi Chalitza Mutas, Exactly, Rabbi Yochanan's definition. They say to the guy, you do chalitza, you'll get $200 out of it. And one time there was a woman that had to face a case of yibum, but the yavam was totally inappropriate for her. And they said to the guy, do the chalitza and we'll give you 200 zuz. And Rabbi Chiya was machshir that presumably, even though they did not give the 200 zuz. Who doesn't come into Rabbi Chiya bar Abba? Another story, someone came to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar la biti amodi, and he said to her, biti amodi. So that's very cryptic. What does it mean, biti amodi? Stand up and do what? So Rashi has two deals. First one is biti amodi, amodi visyabmilo. Go and do yibum. You have a yibum situation, you're supposed to do yibum. If you look a few lines later in Rashi, a few Rashis later, lishna achrina, biti amodi, amodi al raglech, tchsiv amdu shnei nashim ba'amida, that you have to stand up when you're doing the chalitza, it's supposed to be done ba'amida, while you're standing. If you look at the top toes, Tos says, according to that daya, that you need to stand up to do the chalitza. Where do we ever see you need to stand up to do the chalitza? So he says, yeah, maybe there's such a din lechachila that she's supposed to be standing while she does the chalitza, but certainly it's not going to be ma'akev. But let's read the Gemara like the first daya in Rashi, that what he instructed her was amodi, meaning go and allow yourself, go do yibum. So Amrlei, she said, Amrlei Ima, the Bach changes it from Ema to Ima, her mother said, Yeshivasa zuhi amidasa, what's best for her is not to do yibum. Her refraining from yibum, that will be what's in her best interest. Amrlei, Yadatale, so she said, do you know something about this fellow that you think it's a bad idea to go and marry him, to do a yibum? Amrlei, she said, in, Mamonu huduchazala, she's a woman who has money, and he wants to marry her for her money. So he wants to use up all of her money, and then he'll drop her. He'll divorce her. But he's only interested in the money. So he said to her, to the woman herself who was facing the Yibum, are you not interested in doing the Yibum? Amalei, lo. She said, no, I'm very much not interested in doing the Yibum. So Amalei, chalotzla b'kacha takonza. So they had to trick the guy. So they told the guy, do a chalitza, and through that, you'll be married to her. Lebasu the chalitza, after he did the chalitza, Amalei, hashem inachiv salach, chalotzla chalitza malitza, kechid shari le'alma. Okay, now that you did that chalitza, even though it wasn't valid because you had no kavana for chalitza, so it's not a valid chalitza, she's not mutaris li'alma, but it was enough of a chalitza, it's a chalitza psula. So it's enough of a chalitza that it makes her usher to you. So you're not going to be able to do yibum. So once you're not going to be able to do yibum anyway, and she's going to be asura to you, you might as well do a real chalitza with the proper kavana this time. So we put him in a position where he's going to gain nothing by refraining from doing a chalitza, and then he'd be more willing to do a chalitza. A little risky, right? Because he could have turned around and said, no, I'm not interested after you tricked me like that. And he could have walked away. Obviously, that would have been evil. Would have left her as an aguna. But anyway, apparently he doesn't tell you what happened at the end. They tell you what they said to him. That you might as well do the chalitza. Baschamud Rav Papa, the daughter of the father-in-law of Rav Papa, meaning Rav Papa's sister-in-law, Nafal Yavim Shein Hagunah, also faced a situation of Yibum where it was a totally inappropriate kind of person for her. So Asal Kameda Abaye, Amrle Chalotzla B'kach HaTukonza. So he came to Abaye, and Abaye also says, do the chalitza, and through that you'll be married to her. Some of the papa, some of the marla hadam Rabbi Yochanan. Don't you hold that what Rabbi Yochanan said earlier, that doesn't work, that only Reish Lakish thought a chalitza mutas of such a type where the guy thinks that he's being konza is going to be kosher. Rabbi Yochanan said, no way, you need kavana. And if the guy thinks that he's marrying her through the chalitza, that's not going to work. So what should we tell the guy if we need to get rid of him? Tell him to do chalitza and you'll get 200 zuz. Lebasa the chalitza, and then after he does the chalitza, Amalei zil havle. He said, go and give it to him. Amalei, so Rav Papa said, Masha nibach avdalei. Nah, I was just joking around when I said that I was going to give 200 zuz. No way, that was never the intention. Milo tanya, because after all, didn't we learn in a brisa that you're allowed to say stuff like that? You're allowed to say that you were just messing around and that you never planned to do it. In the following context, Tareisha yaboreach mibes asurin, if a person person was escaping a Beis HaSulin, a jail, Vaisama Avra Lufanov, and there was a ferry that was going to take him off of Rikers Island, Va'amrle told Dinar Vavirani, and he said, take a dinar, which is way more than the ferry costs to get to the, you know, away from the jail. But he said, take a dinar and take me over this river. Ein lo ela skaro. The guy gives him a ride over the river. He does not have to give him a whole dinar. He only has to give him whatever it normally costs to be able to go over that boat. Alma amrle mashta nibach. So you see that you're allowed to say mashta nibach. You're allowed to say that I didn't really mean it. I was just exaggerating. Sachanami mashta nibach. So over here also, you could say mashta nibach that I was just exaggerating. So amrle avucha hechas. Abai said to Rav Papa, where is your father? Amrle b'masa. He's in the town. Imachecha, where is your mother? Amrle b'masa. She's in the town. Yavbo enev shchivan. So Abai looked jealously at Rav Papa, and they died. And both Rav Papa's father and mother died. How did he know that he had a father and mother somewhere? So Rashi points out, Kolomer kumaduma ani sheyeshcha aveim smuchalach lesapik tzorchecha leficha kamachad ben shmeitech. You're so sharp. You came up with such an etza that I could see that you must be learning very well. It must be someone supporting you in learning. It must be that you have parents that are supportive parents, and that's why you're able to learn so well. So that's how he knew that he must have parents. Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, chas v'sholem, to think that Abaye had kavana to kill Rav Papa's parents because of his kepeda. No, it was just something that was very impressive to Abaye, and that caused him to be mispoil from it. It caused him to be very impressed, and that caused the nayin hara that brought about their death. That attention was brought to the fact that Rav Papa was able to learn so well because he had healthy living parents who were supporting him, and that's what caused the hispa'alus, and that hispa'alus caused nayin hara, and that's what brought about the death. Now there is a machlokes rishonim. Why is it that you're allowed to say mishal? Meaning, there's another word for that. I was joking around. I was lying, right? You're not allowed to lie. So what is it that you're allowed to say Meshata Nibach? So by the Beis HaSurim also, that you promise the guy a dinar, then you don't give him the dinar. So the Ritva writes that any time you would be chayv to pay a significant amount of money more than, or you're mechayv yourself to pay way more than the item is actually worth because of some sort of onus, that's not considered a real commitment to pay that, because the commitment was obviously made out of a sense of onus, and therefore you don't have to pay that which you were mechayiv yourself. So barech mibeis asurim, and you find the ferry, so you offer to pay an exorbitant sum of money, so no, you could say mishata nibach, and you pay the proper amount of money that it should cost for a ferry. And also by the yavam, a yavam that's eino hagun, that it's not, that it's an improper shinuch over here, if he does chalitza al menas to get 200 zuz, the yavam doesn't have to pay the yavam to the chalitza, because it was only, the commitment was made only out of a sense of onus, and the guy shouldn't be charging 200 zuz to do a chalitza. So the whole thing is overpayment out of a sense of onus. That's what we say Meshat Anibach. The Mordechai quotes Ashita that since everybody is chayev to be matzil borech mibeis asurim, because there's a din of Hashavas Aveda, that if a guy is running away from jail and he's wrongly jailed, so everyone has an obligation to try to save the guy, and a yavam uzeinu ra'oi has a requirement to do chalitza, he has a mitzvah to do it. So that's the point, that whenever you say, I'll pay you to do what you're obligated to do anyway and what you're supposed to be doing for free, then you can say Meshat Anibach on the payment, because he's really supposed to be doing it for free. So whereas the Ritva looks at it from the perspective of the person making the commitment, that the person making the commitment is ba'ones, and therefore he's offering to pay way more, the Mordechai looks at it from the perspective of the person who the commitment was made to, that he's got a mitzvah to do it for free. So whatever promises he give him are irrelevant, because he really should have done it for free. And then the third day is Rabbeinu Peretz. Rabbeinu Peretz says that only if he would not have taken him, he would have been able to find some other way to get over the river. So then you could say Mashta Nibach. But if you can't find any other way to get it, then Enochinami, you have to pay him for the whole thing. So then you have to figure out why the Chalitza case would be, meaning Lechora, that's her only choice. So why would you be able to say Meshata Nibach over there? But at least that's how Rabbeinu Peretz explains the case by the ferry. So this Chaps Nafkamina In the case the Achronim discuss, what if a doctor says that he'll administer treatment, but only for an exorbitant sum of money? So it's all tali. Can you say, okay, I'll do it, and then not pay him that exorbitant sum of money? So it all depends on which reason you follow. That if that the shita that says they say mashata because he has a chiv to save you, like the Mordechai said, so the rofe also has a chiv to save you, and therefore you can only give him the schar that a rofe is supposed to charge, that a doctor is supposed to charge, kipol batel, or whatever doctor's fees are supposed to be. But if you hold that the reason that you can say mashata nibach is that since you're paying him way more than something is worth because of the onus, so therefore there's no eschaivus by a doctor who studied a lot and he has a lot of chachma, and his time is very valuable, and it's refuah is very valuable. You're not paying for something that's way more than it's actually worth. He's charging an exorbitant sum of money, but your health is worth an exorbitant sum of money. So then maybe you would not be able to say mishata anibach. It may be different if he has a particular medication that has a market value, and he's just, you know, there's a generic, you know, that doesn't cost that much to make the medicine, but the drug company just decides to charge thousands of dollars for the medication. That might be a different story, in terms of the rights of the company to charge that amount of money for the medication. Anyway, Torah about chalitza mutas ksheru. We have a brisa that a chalitza mutas is kosher. Get muta pasul, but a get muta is pasul. So a get with a tanai, and the tanai is not fulfilled, is going to be pasul, right? We're defining chalitza mutas like Rabbi Yochanan did, that you make a tanai on it, that I'll give you 200 zuz, and then you don't fulfill the tanai. So he said that's still a kosher chalitza, but you can't do that with a get. With a get, that does not work. Chalitza mu'usis psula, get mu'usa kosher. A chalitza that's forced is pasul, but if a get is forced, then it's going to be kosher. Say, chidami, what do you mean forced? Ida amarotza ani. If the guy ultimately says, I'm interested, I'm willing to do it, afilu chalitza nami, then that should be kosher by a chalitza as well. Vi lo amarotza ani, get nami lo. And if the guy does not say I'm willing to do it, then it doesn't work for a get either. Sachi kamar, chalitza mutas liolam kosher, get muta liolam pasul. A chalitza mutas, where there was a tanai that you didn't fulfill, is always going to be kosher. A get muta, where there was a tanai that wasn't fulfilled, is always going to be pasul. Chalitza mu'usis, forget mu'usa, but when it comes to forcing a chalitza or a get for that matter, they're in the same category. Zimnin kosher, zimnin pasul. Sometimes it'll be kosher, sometimes it'll be pasul. Hadi amar rotzani, hado lo amar rotzani. If the guy said rotzani, then whether it be a get, whether it be a chalitza, it's kosher. If the guy did not say rotzani, then whether it be a get or whether it be a chalitza, it's pasul. Titania, because the Brisa talks about someone, the pasuk that discusses someone who commits to bring a carbon ola. So it says, Yakrivo so, Milami Chakofano so. Sounds like we force him to bring the carbon. So Yachal Bal Karcho, Tamalomar, Liritzono. But then the pasuk says, no, he brings it Liritzono. Haketzad, how could it be that it's Yakrivo so and that it's Liritzono? We force him until he says rotzani, until he says that he's interested. And we find the same thing by a get, that you force the guy until he says rotzani. So Rava says in the name of Schora and the name of Rav Huna that we'll do chalitza even though in makirin, even though we don't recognize who the guy is. Now Tosfos over here points out Rava's quoting Rav Schora. That's interesting because in Meseches Bav Metzia there's a Gemara in Perikel Metzias that Amar Rava Kegon Rav Schora Da Azbron Zuam Alistrom Pirushaheir Einai Ba'osu Mishta Achas. That Rava comments about Rav Schora that he taught me one thing. He was Meir Einai about one particular Mishnah, which makes it sound like he only learned one thing from Rav Schora. But then you look all over Shas and Rav is always quoting Rav Schora, so you get the impression that Rava was a Talmud of Rav Schora. So that's what Tosa says over here. You have to change that. Whenever you have a problem like that, one of them is probably Rava and not Rava. So you have to change the girsa. So Rava garas hasam. Aval Rava yitalmidu muvak. That in that Gemara must be Rava. That Rava learned one thing from Rav Schora, but Rava was the Talmud muvak of Rav Schora. We had a similar discussion about Rava and Rava yesterday when it came from who was the one that descended from the Bnei Eli. Was it Rava or was it Rava? Over there, what motivated that discussion in Tosfos was whether they were both Kohanim, right? If Rava was not a Kohen, then he probably was not a descendant of the Beis Eli. It was probably Rava that was a descendant of the Beis Eli. So that that was the discussion yesterday, but you have all over Shas that confusion between Rabba and Rava. So anyway, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Schora, Amar Rav Hunu, Choltznaf Bisha in Makirin. You could do Chalitza, the Beis Din is allowed to perform the Chalitza, even though they don't recognize this guy, they don't know for sure that this guy is the brother of the deceased husband. And similarly, they'll do a miyun where the woman, the katana, begs out of the marriage, even though we don't know that this is the husband she was given to. But because Beis Din is going to do it without knowing who the guy is, the Edim should not write that we saw a chalitza being done and that we certify a chalitza was done if they don't know who the guy is. Because then Vein Kosum Get Miyun Elam Kein Makirin. Same with the Get Miyun. The Cheshin and the Beis Din Tohen, because we have to be Choshesh that it's going to go to the next Beis Din and they're going to, the Shtar is going to show up in the next Beis Din and the next Beis Din is just going to take their word for it, that it happened, and they're not going to know that it really requires further investigation whether the right fellow was there. Because since the original Beis Din was allowed to do it without knowing the guy, no one ever verified that this was actually the guy. So we have to be choshesh that Beis Din is going to make such a mistake. V'Rava Didei Amar, and Rava himself says, no, we nip it in the bud right at the very beginning. The first Beis Din is not allowed to do chalitza unless they can verify the identity of this fellow. And we also don't do miyun unless we know that this is the right fellow. So the Edim are allowed to write the certification even though they don't know who the guy is, because they could trust that the Beis Din knew. And we're not going to have to be choshesh that Beis Din is making a mistake, that Beis Din made a mistake in this halacha and did the chalitza even though they didn't know. No, they're only allowed to do the chalitza if they do know. So Tosfos points out that it's inconsistent. The phrase lo chashin le Beis Din Tohen is inconsistent. It's being used in an inconsistent way over here. First time we said lo chashin le Beis Din Tohen is about the second Beis Din, that the next Beis Din that's going to get the shtar, whether we have to be where we said we are choshesh for Beis Din Tohen, that they may not realize that the first Beis Din didn't do their due diligence, so it didn't have to do their homework. Over here, where we're saying v'loch hashinu Beis Din Tohen is about the first Beis Din, that if you assume that there's a halacha that the first Beis Din must do their due diligence, they must do their research, we don't have to be choshesh that maybe they didn't do their research. Tos is a little bit bothered by that inconsistency, and therefore comes up with a different pshat in the Gemara, but this is how Rashi learns. Okay, so now, mitzvah, new mishnah, mitzvah chalitza, bo hu v'yivem to Beis Din. How does chalitza work? Here's what happens. They come to Beis Din, vein masin lo etza ogenes lo, and they give him advice that makes sense for him, meaning, the Gemara is going to explain, if he's 80 years old and she's 20 years old, so they tell him, this is not a marriage that's likely to work out. Some of the achronim are bothered by the kasha. How are you allowed to do that? Meaning, there's a mitzvah to do yibum. So how can we advise him not to do yibum? And the answer is, you got to use your head. If it's not going to work out, and they're going to be fighting, and it's not going to be a good marriage, so you don't want to push a person into a marriage. It's not going to be a good marriage. It's ABCs. So shenemar v'kardol zikne ruv dibrei love. That dibrei love means to him something that makes sense to him. V'yomeres, and she says, me'enye v'amila hakam lachem shem b'Yisrael lo ava yabmi, that he refuses to make a name for his brother, he doesn't want to be miyabimi. V'huomer, and he says, lo chafatzi l'kachta, he acknowledges, correct, I don't want to take her. U'blashan ha'kodesh ha'yu omrim, and they say this in Lashan ha'kodesh, v'nikshav yom to elav, le'enye azakenim, v'chol tzon alome al raglo, and then they bring, the Yavam is brought to him, she takes the shoe off of his foot, v'yarko b'fanam, she spits in front of him, roka nir l'dayanim, saliva that's visible to the dayanim, v'ansa v'amra, and she says, kacha yasal ishashol, this is what we do to a guy who doesn't want to build up his brother's family. That's what they would be makra to them, but they wouldn't be makra any further in the parsha. Just that relevant section of the chumash. When Rabbi Horkanus was performing a chalitza procedure under a tree in Kfaritam, the governor's called a parsha, and he decided that they were going to finish the entire parsha. They were going to read out the entire parsha that appears in chumash. So then they decided that they too, through all the other Bati Din, followed suit, and they also were Gomer Kala Parsha. That when we say that they should call out Beis Chalutzanal, that's a mitzvah on the Dayanim, not on the Talmidim that are there watching the Chalitza. Rabbi Yudomer, mitzvah al Kala Omdim Sham Lomer Chalutzanal. Then now anyone who's standing there, anyone who's witnessing the Chalitza, is supposed to say Chalutzanal. Amar Rabbi Yudomer, mitzvah Chalitza Kora v'Korei v'Chalatzis v'Roka v'Kora. Meaning the simple, the simple instructions, the Cliff's Notes to how Chalitza works are as follows. Kora v'korei, choletzis v'roka v'korei. It's five steps. She reads, he reads, pull off the shoe, spit, and read again. Right? And she reads again. So my kamashma masnisani. Yeah, we just read that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us exactly what the procedure was, and you didn't veer from it at all. So it's exactly what the Mishnah said. So what's Rabbi Yehuda adding? So kamashma mitzvah hachi v'yapach lasanma. No, what he's telling me is that that's a mitzvah to do l'chachila, but b'di'evin, if you switch the order, that's not going to be ma'akev. Tani namiyachi, and we have a brisa. It says just like that. We already saw this brisa. Bein sheikdim chalitza l'rakika ubein. That even if you do the spitting earlier on in the process when you weren't supposed to, you're supposed to do it later on in the process, it's still going to be a valid chalitza. If you're aiding the woman in saying her part in the chalitza, when you're being makra, the get chalitza to her, don't say lo, avayav mi, because that makes it sound like, no, he really wants to be miyavim mi. Ella, lo avayav mi. You have to say it as one phrase. He does not want to be miyavim. But lo lukrili didei, when you're reading to him, don't do lo luchudei and chafatzdi luchudei, that demashma chafatzdi lukachta, which makes it sound like, no, I really want to take her. Ella, lo chafatzdi lukachta, I do not want to take her. Rava amar, avsuke milsi, avsuke milsalasanba. Rava says, what do you mean? You're allowed to breathe between saying words. It's not gonna give the wrong impression. So it's perfectly fine. It's less than, but it's not a problem to be avsuke milsa. If Tosos and Tab Tosos says, Vim Tomer Dama, Rava Perik Lulva Gazel Lo Le Meinish Baruch Haba V'Hadr B'Shem Hashem Rav Safra Amar Rav Sukim Milsav Lassan Ba. Rava over here is being so sure what he says in Perik Lulva Gazel when it comes to Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, where Rava says you better be careful. Yeah, you can't put a comma where a comma doesn't belong. And Rav Safra says, what's a big deal? Rav Safra says Rav Sukim Milsav. Everyone is allowed to breathe every now and then. So V'Yesh Lomer De Kibla Mir Rav Safra Hashem Yesh L'Chalik. So either you have to somehow come up with a chiluk between the two sugyas, or maybe after that conversation with Rav Safra, Rava said, that's a good idea. That's probably true, that sometimes a person is allowed to breathe and we're not going to be so sensitive to putting a comma in the wrong place. And this Gemara comes after that Gemara. Ravashi Ashkel Ravkana the Kamitzaru Makri La Lo Avayav Mi. Ravashi saw that Ravkana, when he would read the Parshator, he would make sure to say the whole phrase together. Lo Avayav Mi. Somele Lo Somele Mar La Had Rava. Don't you hold like Rava that you're allowed to breathe, you're allowed to put a comma in there and don't worry about it so much. So Amrle Moda Rava Below Avayav Mi. Now Rava only holds that you're allowed to put a comma between lo and chafatzdi lekachta, that you're allowed to say lo and then chafatzdi lekachta by reading to him, but by lo avay of me, Rava is going to be moda. Why? So Rashi explains the beinu shel yafsik di mafsik mashma tahay lo aresha kai. Because if you're mafsik, the lo is going to sound like it's going on the previous sentence. Damra me'ein yav mi lahakim lachiv shem b'Yisrael, where she said he refused to be making shem b'Yisrael. Lo kolomar lo ma'an el avay of me, and that will give the impression that he did not refuse, rather he wants to do yibum. The low can't be going on anything else because that's his opening line, so there's nothing that the low could be going back on. So that's what Rava says, then you could say the low with the comma. So when you're writing over the get chalitza for her to have a raya that she had a chalitza, don't write out all the psukim. Say, we made her say from this word to that word, and then, you know, everyone knows which psukim you're referring to, because you shouldn't just be writing out psukim on a piece of paper. So you just say from this word to that word. Marzutra misartik because of the kol parsha, but Marzutra would make a sirtut and he would write out the entire parsha. So maskam marbar idi v'halo nitan likasim, but you're not supposed to write it out. Vilks kavas said Marzutra, we pass like Marzutra. Amrabai rok kavalklato ruach losav loklum. If she spits and then the wind takes away the saliva, then it didn't didn't count. My time of Yarka Bafanu Bin, the slave has to be in front of him. Hilkahu Aruch Vihi Gotsa. So if he's very tall and she's very short, Kaltasu Aruch Ika Bafanu, then even if the wind takes it away, that's fine because it was in front of him at some point. He Aruch Vihu Gotsa. But if she's 6 feet tall and he's 5 feet tall, Bin on Adamatil Adabi Vadrazil. If she spits and the wind right away takes it away, so then it never was in front of his face, and then it's no good. So Amarava Achla Tuma Varaksa, Achla Gargishta Varaksa, loss of Loklum. If she ate something that causes her to salivate and then she spits, that is not a valid spitting. My time, Viyarka Meyatzma Biinan Veleka. She has to pull up the saliva on her own. It cannot be something that's that she can't eat a pickle and then all of a sudden have saliva. It's got to be something that she pulls up on her own. Viyamarava Tzrichi Dayani Lemechsi Ruka. The Dayanim have to see the saliva. Kinafim Mipuma Diyavama. When it comes out of her mouth, Tzchiv Leinei Hazakenim Viyarka. That the Zakenim have to see it. That the Dayanim have to say Beis Chalotzanal and not the Talmidim according to the Tanakama. But Rabbi Yehuda said, no, all the people who are standing there say Beis Chalotzanal. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Pamach Zin Yoshim Fre Rabbi Tarfon. One time we had a Chalitza by Rabbi Tarfon's Beis Din, Ubay Yevama Lachlotz, and the Yevama came to do a Chalitza, Va'amar Lanu, and Rabbi Tarfon instructed us, Anu Kulchem, all of you should answer right now, Chalotzanal, Chalotzanal, Chalotzanal. They should say three times. Chalotzanal, chalotzanal, chalotzanal. Why dafka three times? So sometimes in Judaism we say things three times in order to be mefarsei madavar, in order to add emphasis. That's what the Mordechai writes. Others say it's three times to be meramis. Chalotzanal ka'avel, chalotzanal kemenuda, chalotzanal kemori b'mitzvah Sinai. Whatever, but you say it three times as a point of emphasis. But the point is, he told everybody to say chalotzanal. Hadron lach mitzvah chalitza b'Hashem. Tomorrow we will pick up with the beginning of the 13th parak of Masechta. Have a great day, everybody. Yeah. Yeah.